Our positional deep dives continue this week, and this episode we're looking at a big man class who looks a little underwhelming than it did just a month or two ago, but that doesn't mean there's not a lot of talent and a lot of really intriguing talent. We'll break it all down for you next. Let's party. Welcome to another episode of the No Students Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
Heavy question, but we're rolling, baby. We are rolling. We're less than 2 weeks till a lottery, Metcalf. Almost 10 days. I am just an agent of chaos, and I love it. How are you doing, sir? How are we holding up?
Living the dream. Combine rapidly approaching. We got some really, really fun stuff in the pipeline for that event. Really excited about it. So keep your eyes out. And for those of you watching, you can find all of our stuff at noceilingsnba.com through a little QR code in there because, I'm feeling convenient. I'm feeling generous, trying to make your life easy. Help me help you. Just scan that. Go over to noceilings.com, noceilingsnba.com. Probably help if I got the website right. Subscribe to our stuff. Get caught up on the combine before it even happens. Team continues to put out just an insane amount of volume and quality work. But really excited about the combine. We'll have stuff then. But for now, we got to dive in the big man class. And I think we kind of have to start with the biggest name of the class remaining, because there are so many withdrawals that have really hurt this class. But one guy who...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Might stay in, might go back from the reigning national champions, Michigan Wolverines. Adai Mara Jr., 7'4", is it? 7'3", center from Michigan. Spent 2 years at UCLA. Where do you want to start with Mara?
Yeah, I can't wait for the comments that say, isn't Cam Boozer a big?
He's Cam Boozer, Caleb Wilson, Yaxel Lundberg, Alan Griggs.
It's just
Griggs.
My favorite thing.
They're all
my favorite thing. Yes.
Calm down.
A heck of a year for Adai Mara. Me and Metcalf wanted to focus on doing these episodes, if you're just checking in, on kind of catching up people on the big names to get, educated on. With the final grind, lurking around the corner. And Mara has been a name that probably, if you're a draft sicko, you should be familiar with for the last couple of years, originally from overseas in Spain, made a lot of buzz, goes to UCLA, doesn't play, shout out Mick Cronin, and then transfers to Michigan, and Dusty May brings him back from, the grave, basically, when it comes to his stock. And it was a fantastic year, I thought, for Mara. Really impressive. Special playmaker, good feel, good shot blocker. I there's a lot to like Metcalf. And I also think it's going to be really interesting to kind of see where teams will be at, because there's been a very impressive recent hit rate when it comes to these jumbo size big, Zach Edey, yeah. Donovan Klingon, Kalkbrenner, a couple of other ones. I'm just naming some off the top of my head, but Mara's going to have some team interested and taking a swing, because the tools, the size are very, very unique and fun assets to have on your roster. So I like a lot.
Yeah, it's really tough with this big man class. I was talking to an NBA scout the other day, and he was like, I don't think we have a single big with a lottery grade. I'm like, I hate that. But I feel like at this time of the year, that's not totally uncommon, especially in the public sphere. But every single year, we continue to see at least one climb into that top 10 range or at least lottery range. And you rattled off a bunch of them. Kamon Malawach last year, yep. Really similar, the raw numbers may not be that overwhelming, but you get into some of the impact stats, some of the advanced stuff, and then you just watch them and see the NBA teams who have guys that are built like this. And it's like, man, they just make an impact on the game. They can control the paint on both ends of the floor. And that's what's really intriguing about Mara, and best shot blocker in the country this year, or at least top three, ended up with a block rate of 12.0. Really impressive stuff. Does a great job of locating the ball, really good hand-eye coordination, got into some foul trouble here and there. And the big probably question or critique with his defense is, oh, well, you just pull him out into space and he's cooked. It's like, I thought he moved his feet really, really well in space this year. Obviously, guys that big struggle when they have to flip their hips multiple times anyways. But even if he had to do it once, I thought he did a really good job of trailing and staying connected and then using his length and size to disrupt from the back when he was able to keep the ball handler on one side of him. Did a really good job of sliding his feet, staying grounded. So he's obviously never going to be someone that you want switching everything, but I think in the vast majority of cases, when he does get dragged out to the perimeter, it's not going to be that big of an issue.
Yeah. I think that was the biggest thing throughout the year is you understood the playmaking, the shot blocking were going to be two areas you could really lean your head on quick with the size. But it was like, hey, what's this going to look like at the next level? Like when people start bringing him out on the perimeter, is it going to be a nightmare? And I thought I came home impressed. I thought it was much better than I was expecting. And not to say like there isn't some stuff that needs to get worked on. Obviously, like he's a jumbo big. Quick guards are going to try to pick him apart. But there's also some really good flashes, like you're saying, of like, wow, really moving well with his feet and staying, you know, alert and not getting heavy feet on the perimeter, which you like to see. So he plays with fire. He plays with a little nastiness. I like that too. Like there's and I'm not saying, you know, emotion. There you go. That was the right word. There's a lot of intrigue. But to go back with what you're saying earlier, like I don't disagree what the scout said. I don't disagree. I think this is a tough big class, and my biggest concern moving forward is there's a lot of really good depth. There's a lot of pieces that could really help your roster. So that's like when I say that like, this is a tough big class, I more just say like if you want to draft one early, I worry you could get or teams could get worried about overdrafting. I worry that teams will be like, we have to get a big. And it's like, well, where do you grade him? And if you're grading him like right outside the lottery and you need a big at 8 or 9, I'm worried that teams will try to jump at that for need too much, because I think a lot of these bigs I would be wanting to get in that second half of the first round. But Mara is a tricky one because I get why a team would take the swing, because size, playmaking, and shot blocking are very fun skills to have.
Yeah, so let's talk the offensive end.
Yeah.
Ended up with an effective field goal rate of 67.3, true shooting of 65.8, offensive rebound rate of 10.4, assist rate of 19. All really, really impressive numbers for a skilled center like that. Unfortunately, turnover rate of 19.8 as well. So a little cavalier with the ball security. I think some of that comes from how adventurous, let's go with, he can be with some of his playmaking and passing reads, and he's not afraid to take some risks in that realm, but the hands still need a lot of work. I think mainly like below his shoulders, like when you throw him lobs and throw him passes on the roll high, I think he's actually really good. I think he's solid at catching in traffic, redirecting lobs. I think he's the vertical spacing and rim running with him rocks. But when you try and throw him pocket passes, especially in traffic, it doesn't go well. Even if he's wide open, he kind of struggles with the ball down there. Help digs when he puts the ball on the floor. Really loose in those situations, and help defenders can pick his pocket a little too easily. But where are you with him on the offensive end?
Right there with you with the hands. The you throw him a bounce pass, or if it's waist down, we get into a lot of headaches. If it's above his shoulders, he's got like some of the best hands in the world. Yeah. Like he'll make some catches. You're like, how did you even catch and finish that? It was ridiculous. So it's kind of a headache, but it's just like, okay, you got to, and it's a talented point guard. You got to know who you're throwing it to. So like whatever that'll get figured out very quickly. But like the hands get a little sloppy when it gets below. I do like some of the touch he shows. He's got a nice little hook that he can use with both hands. Like he shows some beautiful flashes and post ups where it's like the off the glass.
Are insane. Like post moves are great. On yes. The drop steps, and he can go to either right or left hand. Really good touch off the glass, just baby hooks, and he's massive, so it's really tough to contest, especially when he throws in that lightning quick spin move.
Yeah, the spin and the footwork better than you expect. Like he's on paper, you're going to expect this jumbo lumbering giant, and then you get the flashes of finesse, which are also like so great. And that's why I think we were so intrigued with him going back to the days in Spain, where you're like, man, this one moves a little different. This isn't just like the slow footed giant that's just going to overpower everyone. He's also got some finesse and skill on both sides of all, especially offensively. Mm-hmm. And look, like Mara's a great shot blocker, but this is the offense is going to get what teams are going to drool over. I think both hands, as I say, like great touch, no complaints there. What about you? Is there anything with the offensive game that you like, especially because you're the Michigan man? Like, was there anything you came away more impressed with on the offensive side of the ball than you were expecting?
The post moves and yeah. The scoring touch on those like little push shots, baby hooks. I was like, oh my God. And you know, that just whenever you see someone that big be that quick with the drop step, it's like, oh, okay, I love that you have this go-to move. Obviously, NBA teams aren't going to be spamming post-ups with him, but when you have someone who can score out of the post like that, go in either direction, because a lot of guys his age can have a really awesome drop step, but it's always going to their dominant hand. Like Hunter Dickinson at Michigan and Kansas, it was always going to that left hand. Like you could just give him a right-handed layup and he wouldn't take it. But then the fact that you can also give it to him in the post and he can play make out of those situations as well and kind of initiate the offense from the post, from the elbows, from the middle of the floor, that's where I think you get really interesting with him, because he's not going to space the floor. I don't expect him to be a shooter. And he shot 30% this year. Not bad. He took a ton of time, so I'm not buying any of it. And he shoots kind of like a hard, flat ball from the perimeter. And on the season, the free throw rate was 56%, which is almost unplayable. Through January, is at like 47%. The last 2 months, it got up to 74%. Mm-hmm. So very different number to end the year. And you love that. But on 140 attempts across the year, 56% is almost unplayable. So that's the area that I think really has to improve. I think I don't think he's quite a 74, 75% free throw shooter like he ended the year at, but I would be surprised if he's below 60 for his career, given the touch indicators from like his post scoring.
Yeah, that was the biggest area me and you have talked about all year when it came to Mara, was like, hey, as impressive as Mara has been, you got to figure out the free throw stuff or we're in a dark place. And because you're trying to be like, hey, that's going to be something that really could spark the upside when it comes to like his trajectory for the draft and where he could go. But like you said, last 19 games of the year, he was 74% from the free throw line, but 2.6 attempts. It's like the majority of the year he was in that 50s and started to figure it out. But like, it looks solid from the free throw line. It's just so funny that like forever this year, I was like, he just can't make a free throw. So hopefully that's turning in the right direction. But look, big picture wise, like I understand if Mara is going to have the opportunity to be one of the first bigs off the board. This is a very, very skill unique giant. And this isn't, you know, Zach Edey, incredibly skilled coming out of Purdue, like, but he was more of a bully, just overpowers you with touch and feel. Klingon was more of just like jumbo giant with really good playmaking and skill. Like I guess Klingon had more of the frame to really just mess you up. I think Mara is more of the thinner, more movement. He can cover more ground. I liked Klingon's shot a little bit better, but I like Mara's playmaking a lot better. Seeing Mara in person, I probably should start this. I saw Mara in person in the beginning of the year, and I'm amazed at his vision, not even as like when he was throwing like assists and everything. he is a weapon in the half court. He got bullied, thrown around. They were trying to get him rattled, and he was just throwing whip passes, and it was a lot of hockey assists. He's got special, special vision for a big man that size.
And we didn't even touch on the outlet passes.
Right.
He's an awesome defensive rebounder and would be QB1 in this last NFL draft. Just the way that he immediately can launch it down to the other end of the court and put it on a platter for teammates and immediately spark transition offense. So that's another massive, massive strength to his game. Let's move on to his teammate, Merez Johnson. 6'9", 240, 250 pound power forward / center, sophomore at Michigan, transferred from Illinois last year. I love this dude. I think he's so underrated. And at first glance, it's like, oh, cool, a bully ball, undersized center. Great. Those always work out. But the more you watch him, the more nuance and subtlety that you see in his game, especially when you compare it to what he was last year at Illinois and the year before that in high school and the year before that.
I absolutely love Merez. I think this is one that's trending upward in a hurry. I'll try not to be just too personally biased because I talked to you all year, but you watch the tape, you watch what he did with this Michigan team. Look, they've got a lot of talented players on that national championship team. Yoxa Lindenberg, Adaimara, who we just talked about, but I think Merez was one of the most important players on that team.
Yeah.
And you know, you were hyping him at the beginning of the year, and I was like, all right, I'll finally get around to it. I'll watch it. And when I watched, I was like, oh man, I'm in love. Now, let's get the, you know, elephant out of the room for anyone that's a doubter. You'll hear 6'9", and you'll be like, okay, the classic, like we're dancing with the tweener mm-hmm. position. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Combine will tell us officially, but I think yeah. Merez is around 7'2"-ish, 7'3" wingspan.
I don't remember exactly, but I think it's good.
I think it's good. I think it's been good enough to water down some of the 6'9". So if we've mm-hmm. got that with the strength, the power he has, really work at something. I like his feet. Like, I think he's got good footwork that he knows how to cover ground with yes. his footwork, which is a big difference than having light feet. It's like you can cover ground quickly. But I think Merez is the one prospect you're going to have to feel the safest of this big class. I really do. I feel like this is a big that has a potential to play a long time at the NBA level. If he reaches a couple different outcomes with his upside, it could get really fun fast. You could find gold. But right now, like this type of player that Merez is very, very valuable to teams because they're like, hey, the ground floor is great to start from. If you continue to build up the foundation, you get into a fun world where this is a very valuable piece for your roster and your organization.
And something that I love about him is that his success has never come through being given the ball or being ball dominant or being the hub or decision maker or anything like that on offense, where we constantly see like guys of this mold in high school typically dominate because they're so much bigger. They're so much more physical than everyone else they're playing against that they just put up insane numbers. And then they try and do that same stuff at the next level and the next level after that. And it only works so long, but you have to adjust your game. Merez has never been that. He's always been a really low maintenance big. Obviously, he relies on power and strength and tenacity and an insane motor to have that success, but he doesn't need the ball to make that impact. Like, he clears out space on his cuts and his seals. Really good screener, really good rim runner, despite, you know, his being quote unquote undersized. But that strength and that motor and that mindset allow him to play so much bigger than he actually is. And he's so good on the offensive glasses. Another year with an offensive rebounding rate over 10. He was at 12.8 this year, 18.9 on the defensive end. And that ability to constantly generate extra possessions, whether it's putbacks for himself or just grabbing the offensive board, kicking it out and resetting the offense, and then immediately flowing into the next screening action or sealing or doing something that doesn't show up in the box score, is so, so important. And we constantly see that from him on offense. We see it from him on defense, where it's switching everything at the top of the arc and being that point of attack defender. I'm really, really excited to see what his career looks like, because he's not going to put up outlandish numbers. He's probably not going to be an all-star, like, just trying to be realistic here. I'd love it if he is, if he continues to improve as much as and as rapidly as he has these past couple of years. Never rule anything out, but his impact comes with the subtleties of the game and the little things in the game on both ends of the floor. Now, just so I don't sound like a total insane homer, I just finished my deep dive on him and was a little more frustrated with the finishing stuff than I wanted to be. Like the hook shots, the runners, the touch shots, really inconsistent. I'm in the half court on Synergy. Now the volumes here are really low, so take it with a grain of salt, but like on runners, he only took 12 of them, 41.7%. On hook shots, only took 14 of them, 28.6%. Hate those numbers. Layups in the half court, 68.6%. Would like that to be over 70, but not a bad number. I think some of the finishing needs a little work, but I don't think it's necessarily touch-based. I think it's more so him rushing the process and just being a little too eager. And it took a massive improvement from where it was at Illinois last year, but it still needs a good amount of work.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where it's rushed for me when I've done like an initial deep dive. Can't wait to start that process again. I feel like I was always like, slow down, you're rushing it a little bit. And it's also like, I think playing in the game flow where like everyone else has been cooking a little bit. And then all of a sudden Merez gets an opportunity and it's just like the rushed mental where you're like,
Paul,
I got, slow down. He's a play finisher right now, in my opinion. Now you hear those numbers and be like, well, Metcalf just said he needs to be better at layups and stuff. We'll get there. The growth he's taken is tremendous. I think there's two routes with his game that get really exciting, and why I'm buying into him is you either really own in on that and just become a consistent finisher, or you start to, and I know we're going to get to this, but like I'm buying the shot long-term. I think it really is intriguing. And, you know, I still think one of my favorite comps, and you kind of threw this out and I was like, oh, I've been using this for the wrong guy. But I think there is a world in which down the road he turns into an Al Horford-ish type of player. And you see a lot of that with his game. And if all of a sudden he adds a little bit of a shot, now we've talked about this on previous episodes, like Al Horford, people don't realize like he's turned into a floor spacer. He was not a floor spacer for like 5 or 6 years in the NBA. He was shooting, I think, less than one attempt a game. So there's time. And if Merez can slowly add that to his game, that makes him even more of an offensive weapon. I understand the finishing needs to get better. I completely agree, but I like how you put that with like, just seems rushed sometimes where it's like, oh, it's he thinks he gets by someone with some footwork and has like another half of it, like a gather dribble, and he would have been by himself, but he rushes it too early or like shoots a floater too soon. I think that'll all get figured out.
You said you're buying the shot. So am I. Obviously, super low volume this year. Only 35 attempts, but 34% from three. The big improvement was up to just over 78% from the line on 156 attempts. That's a huge improvement from last year. And that's a really good indicator for me. And I've been saying this for a year plus now that I'm buying the shot, because I know I sound like a broken record here for the longtime listeners, and sorry folks, but like when I saw him when he was at Illinois and saw him in person during warmups, like he was taking full speed live game reps during warmups on pick and pop, transition, trail threes, catch and shoot stuff. I know it's just warmups, but when you're taking it at full speed, really getting a sweat in and knocking them down constantly, it's like, okay, this is something that you've actively been working on, and we're seeing the steady growth in it year over year. I don't think he's ever going to be Karl Anthony Towns or anything like that from outside, but taking one or two a game at 37%, you know, at his peak or something, I think that's going to be enough to help diversify his play finishing and add a little versatility to it and help with the floor spacing and making him even more malleable in whatever lineup his NBA team wants to use him in. So I do buy it. I know the raw numbers are just okay, especially with the volume that low, but I think they're really promising signs year over year.
This is the player every year that I think a team passes up and then every fan base is like, man, I wish we had a player like that. Like, this is going to be a redraft guy that we're all going to – it might not be an all-star. It might not be the superstar from this class, but it might be a guy that's like, man, if we could get Merez Johnson on this roster, that would be a missing piece. Like, there's always one guy where every fan base or every – you know, you just from an outsider, like, man, if he ended up there or if they got that guy, I think Merez is going to be one of those guys that raises the floor and ceiling of a team. It might not be to another stratosphere.
Yeah,
but it also might take you out of the lottery and, you know, get you on a great path to really taking a serious step towards making, you know, playoff runs, title runs, hopefully.
And then just last thing with the defense for me.
Yeah.
I think he's an awesome team defender. Just the amount of ground he can cover, switch numerous positions. You probably don't want him as your primary rim protector, but if he's the low man, weak side guy making rotations, he's really good, especially given the strength with his verticality, box outs, all that kind of stuff. Point of attack, I do think he can get a little heavy footed at times, and it's more so just being a little too reactionary where like a jab step can send him the wrong way a little too easily. But I think it's stuff that can get pretty cleaned up just with more reps, more experience, and all that kind of stuff. So anything for you on the defense?
Yeah, just quickly on the defense, because I'm trying to be better about us not talking about every prospect for 30 minutes each. But the defense is one of my favorite of any defensive prospect in this class. It's why I bought in heavy on Merez early in the year, because the defense is that good. I think NBA teams evaluating Merez need to look at the roster construction of Michigan and realize how valuable Merez made Mara and vice versa. So my point is being like, we get through this lottery and we were looking in the first round and we all of us at no ceilings. A lot of people you talk to, scouts, like, gosh, if he ends up at OKC or if he ends up in San Antonio or if he ends up with a team that has that big, gigantic five, that you can maybe be like, hey, Merez could play small ball five at times, but we could also put him as a four, be the muscle next to our length. Then you get two really good defensive bigs, like even Portland. I'm just throwing out with Klingon. That's why he gets so intriguing. Yeah, that's why he gets so intriguing so fast. Because they don't have a pick anymore. Sorry, you're right. Why he gets so intriguing so fast is because you can get the versatility. He's the muscle now with your size behind that. It's a little bit more old school, like roster construction, mm-hmm. I feel like, but I feel like it could work this way. That's why it's like, oh, you can get creative with this one. But the defense awareness, the vision on both sides of the ball is really strong. I'm with you. He could get a little heavy footed, but it's one of those like, hey, you're heavy footed learning, like, oh, okay. It's one of those like, that was a rep, game rep, like figure that out. It's nothing I'm like, he just can't move. It's like, no, he can move.
No, it's like maybe even heavy foot maybe wasn't even the right word. Like,
right.
Happy feet almost.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, there he is. And it's like, oh, no, he went the other way. So it's stuff that we see constantly get improved with time and experience. But I just think about the defense with San Antonio long-term with a lineup of him, Wemby, Carter Bryant, Dylan Harper, and Steph Castle. No one's ever scoring. All right, you described Merez as one of what you view as one of the safer prospects in this class. Let's go to one of the biggest wild cards in this class, technically, Kentucky sophomore, Jane Quaintance. Coming off the knee injury from Arizona State led to one of the most impressive singular performances from any prospect this year in his domination of St. John's, and unfortunately he followed it up with like three or four absolute stinkers and then shut it down. So I have no idea what to do with Jane Quaintance, but it seems like almost the totality of his draft stock is going to rely on what the medicals look like.
This is the holy grail of medicals, and look, Metcalf just said you have no idea what to do with him. We're not alone.
Yeah.
I think it's every NBA team right now. It's like, I have no idea what to do with him. Anytime you talk to a scout right now, you're like, look, I could put him anywhere. Like, I get if you swung, I get if you're just off. Like, middle of the year, I think right after you got shut down, I talked to a scout, and he was like, I'm out. No chance. Because it was more just because of the medical popping back up. And it's like, not only did you get, apparently rushed him back, and now the knee might be just, like, torpedoed. But he was just like, we got to see the medicals. Every single scout right now is just kind of waiting. Like, we got to get the medical report. We got to find out. Like, if he's cleared, it creates a headache. If he's not, it creates a bigger headache too, because you're just like, where do you take him? And then if he's cleared, is he cleared for training camp? Is he cleared for middle of the year return? Like, so is he going to redshirt? There's so many different roads we can go. But if we're talking about Jaden Quaintance, the basketball player, like, let's try to be positive and hype this up, because
there's a lot to be excited about.
Yes, because there's going to be a Jaden Quaintance, and they're going to be, what do we do? And this is why you get excited. Hope he doesn't go to the Spurs. I'm kidding. Quaintance is really tricky because, like Metcalf said, you watched the St. John's game, and me and you did even a pod right after, and we were like, I guess he's going top five? Like, we were like, oh my gosh, look at this game. It was unbelievable. Incredible. And it was more just like the power, the nastiness, the rebounding, it was everywhere, the shot blocking. If you watched him at Arizona State when he reclassified, he was 17 years old playing. And it's Robert Williams from the Celtics. Not as good of a playmaker, but a little
there's
bit
some flashes.
There's
not as consistent, but
not as consistent.
Rob was an incredible passer.
There's more Quaintance playmaking than you realize. Like, I just did my deep dive on the Arizona State version, because I was like, what are we going to do here? And I watched it, and I was like, all right, if you're buying in on this, you get really fun, but the offense has a long way to go. This is a rim running offensive player, in my opinion, with some good playmaking foundation. And that is a monster on defense. It's a monster. There's stuff that needs to clean up, but in terms of what he did at ASU at 17 years old and how raw he is, there's a lot of really fun stuff to work with. It's going to come down to medicals. It's going to come down to Jaden Quaintance. It's going to come down to does the kid want to be great, and does his body allow it? Because there is a very special set of tools, but there's also a very scary set of questions that he needs to get answered.
Absolutely. I don't know where else to go with him, because
I don't want to take all the questions. Time. I just I'm trying to vent it with you. So, like, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Because we don't have a season to go off of. We have one awesome game and him getting run off the court against Alabama, and that's kind of it. And it's just so many question marks. When the defense is right, when he's healthy, complete game changer. Like, top five kind of guy in this class. The exact type of guy you want anchoring your defense. But if he's not healthy, he looks like what we saw in the Alabama game, where he's out of shape and he can't keep up and he's getting gassed. And when knees are this big of an issue for guys this young who relied this much on their athletic gifts, it gets really scary. It gets really, really scary. So I'm praying that we get a clean bill of health from him. And he was just uncomfortable. He was rushed back. And this year was just a mistake from top to bottom. And he's able to go into next year fully healthy, ready to go. Combine is going to be huge for him. Someone else who Combine could be absolutely massive for is Hannah Steinbeck, freshman big from Washington. Arguably the best rebounder in the country this year. Offensive rebounding rate of 14.3, defensive rebounding rate of 25. The guy's just a monster and inevitable on the boards at both ends of the court. And yet, despite how much I love it, I just still, for some reason, can't fully buy in.
It's a tough one. He's kind of... I'm curious to see what he measures in. I feel like the weight has... I don't know if Washington updated. I feel like the weight hasn't even been listed all year. It's been funny. I feel like it's
a lot of
the
international guys don't.
It's always my favorite thing. I think Washington's had him like.
Yeah, ESPN doesn't have any of his measurements.
It's pretty fun. So I'm excited to see what he measures. He's tough. He's a classic. You know, when you do a deep dive on a guy at the end of the year and you're like, well, I like that. And then you kind of sit and you're like, I wanted to like it more. Like, and you're just, so you're just like, where do I put that? And then you're like, well, I'm not going to go back and just force me to like it more. Like, you're kind of just taking the, I don't like to overanalyze. Like, I'm like, I feel fine with my range right now. I still like him a little outside the lottery. Probably like late teens, in my opinion. I still think Hannes could be a guy that goes in the lottery. I'm convinced that he can go in the lottery easily. This is going to be the one on draft night. I'm telling people, like, I think he could go early because of the rebounding and the size. And rebounding, when you're elite at it, is a weapon. And he
We've seen NBA teams mold their offensive philosophy around offensive rebounding this year. Like, without being elite offensive rebounders, the Rockets wouldn't have gone to 80 points a game this year. That's a huge portion of what the Celtics do. And if you really buy in and value the rebounding, you can overlook some of the defensive shortcomings. You can absolutely convince yourself of the passing upside because the flashes there are really fun. Consistency needs a lot of work, but some of the reads and instincts that he has out of the short roll are really encouraging. You can look at the jumper and be like, we can work with this. 34% on only 53 attempts, but, you know, 76% from the line, encouraging indicators. It doesn't look broken, but again, like the passing, really inconsistent with the accuracy. Like, some of his misses are really bad misses, but I don't think it's broken. I could see him getting to a similar level like what we were talking about with Merez, where an occasional pick and pop, an occasional trail three, anything, you know, massive volume, no, but maybe a little to it, but maybe enough to just draw his defender out just that extra step. And maybe he can attack a closeout or create a cutting lane for a teammate or something like that. I think so. So if you really, really, really value the rebounding, it's not that difficult to convince yourself of the other areas having a lot more upside than maybe they do.
I mean, I'm trying to think out loud right now, like the last couple of drafts, the best rebounders, like you got Klingon and Edie in 24, Murray Boyles last year.
Yeah.
I have one from the year before too, but it's always fun scrolling around. Derek Lively.
Yeah.
All questions offensively, all good rebounders. I think Hannes might be better rebounding than probably most of them. All went in the lottery.
Yeah.
So the reason why there's hesitation is we're going to get into depths, but like a quick thing is probably the defense is not great. And he's more of like it's the weird, like, well, on paper, he should be a five. And when you watch him, you're like, he's a four.
Yeah. I don't know if you can survive with him as your primary rim protector.
So it's weird.
Yeah.
It's like, you know how like OKC, I feel like with Hartenstein and Chet, it matches well. We just talked about Merez. Like, if Merez goes to a team where it has a natural five, we're really well. You could get Hannes with a team with also like a bigger muscle guy behind him. Ooh, like, Grizzlies fans probably should be foaming at the mouth, because if they somehow got him and Edie, you'd literally just never lose a rebound ever.
Or even like Miami
would be fun.
You have him with like Bam and Cleo Ware. Like, there's some fun options there. Or obviously, Washington, if they get, they're not going to take him with the top pick, but like, just stylistically, him and Alex Saar in the front court would be a lot of fun.
It's the best. It would be one of the best like possible prospects to trade up for if you were a team like, let's go get a second first rounder and we really need help with rebounding. You'd be like probably doing a backflip being like, we got the best rebounder and our guy early. But it's a tough prospect because every time you're putting the ranks together, you're like, I could see him slipping.
Yeah.
And then on draft night, you could be like, I could see him going 11th. And it would be like, yeah, they went for rebounding. They value that. So he's a tough one. And it's also like, when you talk to teams, they feel the same. there's teams that are much lower on him, and it's been kind of just a puzzling one because you're like, wow, like productive double-double machine,
yeah.
And teams are low, and I feel like we've gotten people that kind of go after us because we're too low, and I'm like, okay, man, I'm just like, hey.
I'm trying.
Report the news here. But talk to me about what you don't like, or talk to me why a team's lower in your opinion. And I'm not saying like that, but like when you watch the game, do you understand why the buzz has not been so high on him?
Yeah. And like aesthetically, he doesn't have the sexiest game. Like it's a lot of just, this could sound harsher than I mean it to, but like it's a lot of like bumbling around and stumbling around and just, but it's always effective. Like he's always under control. It's never like out of control, but he isn't like this fluid, beautiful mover who has like a handle or, you know, consistently sexy passer or really fluid defender or anything like that, but he's not bad at anything. Like he has the elite skill of rebounding on both ends of the floor, but then there it's just kind of a lot of like C grades for me, like across the board. Like even his defense, I don't like love him as a rim protector. I think there's some athletic deficiencies that he's really going to struggle to overcome, but sometimes the hands look really good. Positionally, I don't think he's a disaster by any means. Guys just aren't afraid of challenging him, whether it's on the perimeter or on the inside. And that's a real, real problem, especially if you're bringing him in as a five. And just guys like that, it's really tough to survive with.
It's you're putting it lightly, too. Like, it is not even, like, defensively. Some guys were licking their chops when they saw Washington on the schedule. Merez Johnson, I think, had, like, 22 and 14 or something. He had a big game again. I was like, oh, that was against Hannes. But I understand what you're saying. On the offensive side of the ball, it is a lumbering, like, you know what it is? It's doing his deep dive, and I was just, like, always like, gosh, he's just offensive rebound magnet. It's just, like, rebound, light back up, little float. Mm-hmm. He doesn't dunk everything in the lane. He just is always finishing with finesse. Like I really do like his touch around the basket, but it's boring offense because it's just like cleanup duty, which never gets people hyped up because you're right. Like, well, you watch his highlights and you might be like, he doesn't do much. And then you watch him in the game, you're just like, another offensive rebound, put back. Another offensive rebound, put back. There's a lot of skill and there's a lot of talent. I'm not doubting it. And Hannes will be very valuable to a certain front office, but it's just I'm with you. It'll be very interesting to kind of see what type of combine he has because I wonder if he could really make some noise and maybe be one of the first bigs off the board.
Well, someone else who is looking to make a lot of noise at the combine, like he did throughout the entire NCAA tournament, UConn, big man, Terrace Reed. I don't think anyone in the country necessarily had a better tournament than what he did. His physicality on the boards, really similar rebounding rates to Hannes, 14.2 on offense, 24.5 on defense, combined with a block rate of 8.4. The way that he's improved as a mover and improved his body over the years since high school is really awesome. I have some, let's say, a lot of questions with the scoring touch and the shot. Free throw percentage of just 61, 0 for 4 from 3 on the year. Our own Corey Tulliba has some pre-draft footage of him knocking down jumpers off the bounce, off the catch. So maybe that's a thing that he actually has in his bag. Excited to see it in person. But where are you at with Terrace?
Tough one. I was much colder on Terrace throughout the whole year. Mm-hmm. Our Maxwell Bombach was probably the... He was trying to get me to sign up for the Terrace Reed fan club. And I was like, I can't take any more applications. And then I finally got caught up on the stuff at the end of the year, regular season, before March Madness was getting nuts. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? I just like wasn't expecting the versatility pops. Like, and now there's one thing to have good highlights. It's one thing to also be good. There's a lot of guys that really have good highlights, and you watch them on actual games, and you're like, whoa, this is different. Terrace could play, but this is also one of those players that got to a new system and just flourished, which can also make you nervous because you're like, was it the system? Or is it the player? Now, I'm not trying to be slandered to Terrace, but like there is a lot of really good flashes. It also could go the other way where it's like the system might have been able to untap and showcase his game. And I think there's some little bit more playmaking than I was expecting this year. He is your bully ball type of big. I think it was very favorable for him where like he got to get fed the ball a lot and be patient with the ball. And I think at the NBA level, it's going to have to get sped up and you're going to have to, you know, be making passes quick. So there's a lot of good stuff with Terrace. I really, really like him. Could be a sleeper that intrigues a little bit, but I'm gonna wait and see about the shooting touch stuff. Where are you at, Metcalf? Are you on that same path? Is there a role where he could see him like really being his value?
I love him like end of the first. And
yeah, love
like
him.
If I'm a playoff team who needs a backup big,
Boston,
very excited. Like Denver, the Lakers, Boston, Dallas, even like I think he makes a lot of sense in those situations. And I'm really glad that you brought up the passing because I do think the system amplified it, but I also think it unlocked it at the same time, because like when you look at his year over year growth, it is staggering. So sophomore year at Michigan, assist rate of 4.4, turnover rate of 23.4, assist to turnover ratio of 0.3. Brutal. Next year at UConn, assist rate of 10.8, turnover rate of 16.4, assist to turnover ratio of 0.9. Still bad, but hey, not like, oh my God, what is like gouge my eyes out bad. This last year at UConn, assist rate of 17.8, turnover rate of 15.6, assist to turnover ratio of 1.2, and that's with a usage of 26.5. So I love that trend for him. Is he ever going to be a playmaking hub? No. But the fact that he's grown so much as a passer, it obviously points to that individual skill development, but it also points to how he's processing the game and reading the defense and analyzing the floor. And the fact that we're seeing that cerebral growth combined with the physical improvements and the skill improvements is really exciting for what he could be. Is he ever going to be an all-star or, you know, even a full-time starting big? I don't know. Do I think he could be one of the best backup centers in the league? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think this is the type of you try to get the rotational big and you either find a really good piece or you strike gold. That's what Terrace Reed looks like to me. And it's, you know, I would be scared of him going to a team like Denver. I would absolutely love him as a Celtics fan in Boston. I think it's just like there's a lot of good stuff. I like the defense. He's a little bit of a bully. The shot blocking shows some good stuff, but the playmaking all of a sudden opens up another world to Terrace. And he's physical. He's tough. Yeah. But it's just been really impressive to see the growth he's had. And this is why we love, like, no offense, guys. This is why I love the NIL, because guys like this stay another year. And all of a sudden, Terrace Reed now looks like, oh, my gosh, like he could be a first rounder. Really impressive, like, end of the year, too. I think he was around, like, 16 and 11 in his last 10 games or something. But was almost 2 blocks a game. And there's a lot of good stuff with Terrace Reed. And the physique is unbelievable. Like he's going to overpower a lot of people, but there's also some good skills too.
Let's jump over to Henry Vassar, junior center this year at North Carolina, previous year at Arizona. Sounds like he's staying in, still has another year of eligibility, but it seems like he's fully in on this draft. Coming into the year, one of the big questions with him was, can he rebound? He wasn't a great defensive rebounder at Arizona. This year, defensive rebounding rate jumped from 14.5 to 21.1. He did an awesome job improving on that end. And then on the offensive end, really improving the effectiveness and versatility of his play finishing. We still saw the awesome rim running and vertical spacing that he provided, but ended up bumping his 3-point percentage from 32.7 to 42.6 while shooting two more attempts per 100 possessions. I love him as a versatile play finishing big man, kind of similar to Reed, very different players, but role wise, love him as like a backup center long term.
Yeah, this is why, you know, early on in the episode, we were talking about like, hey, the bigs class might be not as strong as people think, but this is why it's like there's not a lot of separation. It's kind of like each one is their own flavor. and which flavor of the month are you going for here? And I think this is why, like, the end of the first round, we're going to see a lot of these guys, and it could go very different order just because of the team preference. But I think Vasar's right there with Terrace Reed, in my opinion, and it's more of the it's the opposite. It's like the opposite type of player. Vasar is really good finesse at that size. I always say he is a finesse big. He can beat you with the perimeter. He's got a beautiful shot from outside. He's got some good playmaking that I always feel like people don't appreciate. You do, but I feel like people sleep on, like, he's got really good feel as a connector. He's a reason why, you know, Arizona was going high low. North Carolina did that a lot with Caleb Wilson, a lot of easy buckets because Vasar's playmaking and feel. The rebounding is the big question. Yeah. And it's the in the paint play for me. Now, he could finish. He can do some good stuff on the basket. He's a good lob threat. But if you draft Vasar to be a five, I think you're going to run into problems. If you can draft him as a rotation piece that you could play jumbo, you could give him as a small ball five for some lineup variations at times. But you could, if you put muscle next to him,
it's going to be rough.
It's going to be rough. And I'm saying if you could put some muscle next to him on the offensive side, like on your lineup, you could help. You could create headaches for other teams. If you try to have him be your muscle, it will be a nightmare. It'll be bad. And it's just, that's the player he is. He's a really good, unique weapon. But if you want him to be a full-time starting five, it's going to get ugly. If you want to play jumbo size, if you want to be the T-Wolves and put him at the four next to Rudy Gobert, whoo, you could have fun. But it's just a very fit specific big.
And I ended up coming away a little cooler than I hoped this year, despite the rebounding improvements, despite the shooting improvements. Yep. I thought the defense in general took a big step backwards this year. Like at Arizona, I thought he was incredible defensively. I mean, block rate of 6.1, steal rate of 1.8. This year, both of those fell off drastically. Block rate of 3.8, steal rate of just 1.1. But even just ignoring the numbers, I feel like it showed up in the film, where just his activity with his feet and hands was way less than what we saw at Arizona and even before Arizona. And something that just drives me insane is every time he was in drop coverage, he's defending with his hands down. And it's like, my guy, you are huge. Like, you're big, you're long, you're 7 feet tall. Put your stinking hand up. Deflect something, because when you have to bring it up from your knees to try and contest a lob or something at the rim, it's going to take an extra second. Let's cut out the fat. Let's cut out the wasted movement and be a little more proactive with this stuff. So I thought his defense in general this year was really complacent. Like, I didn't think it was lazy, or I guess complacent is lazy. I didn't think it was soft, but like there wasn't that fire that I saw from him at Arizona, if that makes sense.
No, I completely get it. You know, it's a tough one. You could see him being on the board day two in the second round and I would be like, man, that's a value pick right now. That's a good value. Because if it does hit, it's a piece of the puzzle that, like, he's tough to – I understand if you're cool on him. But I also think if you're a creative GM, that's a piece of the puzzle that gets you to contend for a title. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, you have to have different pieces. It's not just five pieces. You have to have different variation and skill set players that can get you to adjust. If, like, you want to give a coach an opportunity to create headaches going from one series to the other, depending on your matchups. And I think Vasar could be one of those guys that, like, hey, you're not going to play him as a starter, but, like, all of a sudden he's coming in and he's really unique, you know, kind of different players, but like Naz Reid, what he was for the T-Wolves, like, as he was becoming the player he is now, I feel like it was also like, look at what he's developed into. Like, Naz Reid's a heck of a player. I'm not saying Vasar's the same type, but it's more of that floor spacing, pick and pop big.
Yeah.
Could really be intriguing, and he's got a beautiful shot from outside. But I understand where you're at, because, like, the defense, people be like, yeah, he gets bullied down there. And I'm like, if he wasn't getting bullied, he'd be going top 20, like, because that's how skilled he is. But is the elephant in the room because you.
But we know it's there too. Yeah, so it's like,
we know it.
Who's going to unlock it?
I don't know. I don't know if you're drafting him to unlock it.
Sure.
I think you're drafting him because of what the offense brings you. And that's why I'm saying if you have a defensive big next to him, maybe you iron that out, or a defensive base team. I don't know. But I get overthinking. My nightmare would be the draft night. Someone takes him to be a full-time big. And I'm like,
oh, yeah,
nope, not going to work. And then he'll go to the Spurs in like 2 years and be perfect for them.
All right. Well, someone else I'm kind of struggling is like, can you be a full-time big? St. John's center, Zubi Adjofor, had an incredible year, but listed at 6'9". And I'm still not sold that he can be a full-time center at the NBA level. I know you're really high on him, and this is probably the guy of the group that we're going to differ the most on. I'm not out on Zubi. I still have a little more revisiting I need to do, because I'm like, the passing stuff with him is awesome. It's efficient, good volume. The defensive playmaking numbers are really encouraging. The scoring versatility, really encouraging. Shot, we'll see. But really good rebounder, at least on offense. So I struggle to buy in on him as much as some of the other people on the team.
It's the tweener. It's the tweener, and you have to walk a very, you got to walk a very, very specific line if you're the tweener. If he was getting drafted in the 2000s, we'd probably be talking about him in the lottery. As a senior, because it's just, he is a dream power forward type of prospect. And I just love him. I don't think he's going to be a five. I don't think he's ever going to be a five.
But do you buy the shooting enough?
I buy it all, baby. I buy it all. it's just too skilled. I think he's going to blow the combine out of the water. I think he's going to shock some people with his testing. I think there's good wingspan. Like it's how I feel about Merez, but I think Zuby's a Energizer Bunny version of it. That's more quickness than power. I think Merez will be able to battle and bully people. I think Zubi, from watching film this year, Zubi has times where like, oh, you could see he's not a center because he just doesn't have the power to go behind it. There is natural frames that have power. There's also guys that lift it in the weight room all the time, and it's like, well, they get over, you know, manhandled by guys that are country strong. I think Zuby's going to have to be your sweetener, where you're really like, there's a very important playoff rotation asset. There's a guy that's really nice piece of the puzzle, but he's too skilled. The intangibles, the playmaking, and his feet on the defensive side of the ball, his instincts are unreal. So there's too many boxes. I just feel so comfortable about it working. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star. I'm just saying like he's going to be a player that we're like, oh, he played 12 years. It's like, yeah, because every team needs Zubi in that rotation.
And that footwork and agility, especially laterally, is a big reason why potentially scaling him down to the four defensively at the NBA level is a little more feasible. And it's like you just kind of live with whatever shooting deficiencies there may be. Like I'd love if he had a Naz Reid type of growth
pattern,
where he slims down a little bit more, turns a little more, even like kind of like a wing type guy. But I think the shot is so far off from where Naz was, because I remember Naz was a one and done freshman and then had one of the most incredible body transformations we've ever seen from a prospect. But the shot was there as a freshman, or at least the signs of it were there. And Zuby's 3-4 years older, the shot's still not there, but I think the handle's really solid. I think the passing's really good. The lateral, the footwork is awesome. I don't know who he is in the NBA. And obviously when we do comps, it's never one for one, but it's just to try and get an idea of how he fits in. And just one of these guys I'm really struggling with.
Is he Taj Gibson?
Maybe. Is Taj Gibson playing as much as or for as long.
He played 38 years in the NBA, basically, it feels like.
He's probably still on the team. I probably blanked on him signing for a team at the end of the year.
But that's what Taj Gibson needed, Joakim Noah. Yeah. Taj Gibson, so you need, like, we've put him in mock drafts at no ceilings to, like, the Knicks, because you're like, okay, well, he has Mitchell Robinson or Karl-Anthony Towns. So I get it. I think it's he's also just someone that does a lot of the little stuff, and I think it's the mentality and the type of player and worker he is. But, like, I love his attention to detail on screens. I love, like, it's just if he was 6'10 and change, we would all be being like, that's a first round pick. But it's there. Everyone has a wart, every prospect, and that Zubies is like, what is he? And I think it's like he could play. Just draft him. You'll figure it out.
All right. We're going to rapid fire just through the final four names here, three of which I kind of expect to go back anyways. So we can be a little quicker. First up, Ruben Chinyelu, 6'11", junior center from Florida. Insane rebounder. I mean, 17.4 on offense, 30.7 on defense. Rebounding rates, not per game. I don't know what he gives you on offense, like, if anything, because, like, the passing is non-existent, 4.5 assist rate, 0.4 assist to turnover ratio, and even the scoring touch, I think, is really worrying, 63.1% on layups this year, and 82.9% on dunks, like a weird amount of missed dunks. So I think you'd be really smart to go back and really showcase just improved offensive feel, offensive decision-making, and just offensive effectiveness outside of just offensive putbacks.
Really smart to be testing the waters. I think he's a rim running, or I think he's a play finishing defensive weapon that needs to add a little bit more to his game. But Chinyelu, really, he's defensive first.
Yeah.
And those bigs, you need to add some offense to, or else guess what? The next year there's going to be another defensive first big that's coming in the draft. So I like Ruben. I think he's going to be really smart to go test the waters, get a feel. Hopefully go back, but if he's not with this big class, you can't rule out the physical frame and defensive upside. Teams will be intrigued.
Next guy, Flori Badunga, sophomore center, transferring from Kansas to Louisville, testing the waters as well. I thought the defense this year was really good, as it was last year. I thought the offensive stuff took a big step in the right direction with the playmaking. Assist rate jumping from 3.6 to 9.7, and just showcasing a little more versatility with the handle out of, like, DHO keepers and simple stuff like that. But I still think the offense has a long ways to go. And when you're undersized like that, despite being as springy and as athletic as he is, there are just some limitations that naturally come with it.
Yeah, he's really talented shot blocker. The offense needs a little bit more work. He's the energizing bunny when it comes to, like, bigs. Like, he could take over a game with his momentum and motor, but, like, you need a little bit more. So, like, I really like just a little bit more seasoning and get something else, because, like, the size, the frame, the fluidity, he can really be valuable at the next level. But, like, I need a little bit more. Good thing is he's got age on his side and he could really pop for one more year, I think.
Third guy, Ugano Nyenso, not going back. Senior 7-footer from Virginia, super low maintenance on offense. Throw him lobs, let him offensive rebound. But the big selling point with him is he's just an insane shot blocker. Blocker 17.4 this year. Probably never going to be a starter, but backup third big on a roster that a team finds value in the second round. I think he could be a really sneaky pickup for a team in the second, given the defense and rebounding and rim protection.
This would be probably one of my everyone's invited to the everyone has to go to the combine. Yeah, we're past the old days of, like, I can't go. This would be probably one of my dark horse, like, super sleeper, like, could he make some noise? Because it's one thing to be a good shot blocker, it's another thing to be just an absolute bully and have that. He's a footer with good strength, power, and defense. I think those are low maintenance, and with this draft class, I think teams are going to be starting to look around like, where could we get the value? There's a run of him on the second. Could we get, you know, he could be a guy that comes off the board a little early than we think, or teams are going to be trying to, we don't like him. Like, oh, we don't like him. We want to get him at 40. I'm with you. Like, that could be a really good, hey, we're going to get him as our third big, room him into like our backup big spot starter.
Then final name for me, Malachi Moreno, freshman from Kentucky. And I threw him in this group because I think based on what he showed this year at Kentucky, he should go back. This is a guy post-combine, though. Wouldn't shock me if we see a big rise from him because he does have some fans, I know, in the space. But I haven't really gotten a good sense of where NBA teams are with him. The rebounding was good. I know some people are really high on the passing stuff. There are flashes of defense, but I thought the defense was super inconsistent with his processing and recognition of where the play was coming from. I think another year in college where he's actually playing and getting that experience would be so beneficial for him. It also wouldn't shock me if he just kills workouts and a team falls in love with him and they just convince him like, hey, we're going to take you top 40 and give you a contract. Just stay in this draft.
It's a very dangerous time combine because a hot week could really change your life. And I agree. I think he should go back another year, but there's good defensive tools. There's good feel. I think the offense needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
But this could be a guy that you're trying to get early to develop slowly. I think Kentucky fans are praying that he's coming back with the portal offseason they've had. So I would love him to go back. I think one more year would really do well, but I'm with you. This is also like a guy that probably like goes and plays in the scrimmages and has nothing to lose. And he's like,
yeah,
Moreno had a double-double with four blocks. And we're like, uh-oh, here we go. Here comes the conversation. So those are the wild cards that really could get cooking where you're like, all right, everything's falling together at the right time.
Yeah, so he may warrant a deeper dive, and we may have to revisit him post-combine.
There's always a couple where we're like, dang it, here we go. Let's start the process again.
But until then, that's where we're going to leave it. We'll be back next week. We got a new big board dropping next week, so really fun episode coming, and then we got a insane amount of stuff coming covering the combine. We'll be there in person, so if you're gonna be there, hit us up. Love to connect. We'll have reactions and in-person footage and all that good stuff coming all week. But till then, check out our stuff at noceilingsnba.com, No Ceilings on YouTube, No Ceilings on socials. He is Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at TMetcalf11. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Till next time, see ya.